It captured the nation's attention for nearly a month and kept everyone in northern New York and Vermont on tenterhooks during the summer of 2015. On June 6, two convicted killers escaped from the maximum security prison at Dannemora. Fugitives Richard Matt and David Sweat eluded searchers for weeks as reporters from around the world fixed a spotlight on the Shawshank-esque getaway. What was it like to be the person in charge of the largest search ever conducted in the state? New York State Police Major Charles Guess was the commander of Troop B headquarters, and it fell upon him to lead the massive undertaking. Now retired, he has written Relentless Pursuit, a book about those 23 days. In the first of a two-part interview, Guess says he was encouraged to write the book by his wife, Eleanor, as an insider's comprehensive record of events.
At least from my point of view, and I can certainly claim an insider's point of view as the former incident commander for this, as to what I saw, what I experienced, and how we did things both strategically and tactically during those 23 days with all of our federal, state, and local partners, and the influence and effect that the community had, which was phenomenal. Support from the North Country citizens, and really how we got from day one to day 23 and ended this thing.
I had expected a book that would be written very regimentally because you have Army background and you were a state police commander. That's not how it was written. Did you have to change the way you approached your writing style when you did this?
Yes. Yes, I had 32 years of service between the Army and state police. So although I was a history major in college and I learned how to write there many years ago, my writing style was police reports and military reports. So during the 6 months that I spent writing this, I'd knock down a chapter and hand it to my in-house editor, my wife Eleanor. And my only request for her was to make it user-friendly. You know, I did not want it to read like a police report. I wanted, you know, the average citizen, someone without the background, to be able to read it, digest it, and appreciate it.
The book is not just about the escape at Dannemora, but you lace in your past experiences, including the Bucky Phillips and the Margaretville manhunts. Was it difficult to go back to those, either in remembering what happened or, in some cases, the failures that occurred during those past events?
Yes, both, as a matter of fact. I certainly relied upon my years of experience in those other incidents and the lessons that were learned by myself and other members of the state police and law enforcement as a springboard and a mantra, if you will, not to repeat those errors of the past to the best of my ability as incident commander in Dannemora. But yes, in writing about those, chapter by chapter, you do find yourself kind of reliving it. Some of those are very painful experiences because it may have involved, you know, teammates of mine being killed during operations. But thankfully, and in honor and remembrance of them, I think we as an agency grew and we modified, in some cases completely revamped, the way we did business, both in selecting and training and resourcing people going forward so that we would not experience those same losses in those very same ways again.
As you were writing the book, at what point did you realize that that would have to be a critical part of the book?
That's a good question. You know, initially, when I was contemplating writing the book, I thought I'll just keep it about the manhunt in Dannemora. But that would not have been true to who I am and what prepared me for that experience. And as I say in the book, early on, I started wondering, am I ready for this? You know, being the incident commander with essentially the eyes of not only New York State but the nation upon me, and certainly the commensurate responsibility of the safety and welfare of the citizens of the community and all of our responders. So I immediately did a self-check, if you will, and looked back reflexively at my career and said, well, I've been through other things similar to this. There is a body of work there, so to speak, of experience. For example, having been a tactical team member for 11 years, having been in a variety of different deployments at Ground Zero, et cetera, have worked with aviation as their commander for 3.5 years, I knew a lot about many of the resources we were going to bring to bear here in Dannemora. I had established a lot of connectivity with our partner agencies up here. Upon arrival as a Troop B commander, immediately outreached to district attorneys, federal, state, and local sheriffs, and special agents in charge of a variety of federal agencies. Point being, I had just enough time upon arrival when I got my feet on the ground here in December of 2014, a mere 6 months, but just enough time to prepare so that when the escape occurred in June of 2015, we could at least hit the ground running. Now, it wasn't perfect. We had a lot of catching up to do, and we had a lot to build this sort of coalition, if you will. But I knew we needed a coalition. That's probably the main message. I knew from my experience in Bucky Phillips and the magnitude of this environment, the task at hand, that we needed to be collaborative in our effort and that everybody had to have a seat at the table. Collectively, to have all of those forces come together and gel, to see it happen personally, to be on the ground in the field and watch it occur, was greatly satisfying to know we finally were that prepared. I was confident at that point. We get an opportunity to put this thing to bed, we're going to be able to do it because the people are primed and they're practiced now. They understand the relationships and the necessity to act. And perhaps most importantly, they understood what my intent or the commander's intent was, how to get this job done. And they had the tools to do it.
Do you believe in fate? And do you think in some ways the way your career moved forward, it led you to be at this point at that time?
Perhaps. I've talked to a lot of people who have said exactly that. I'm not trying to make too much of my career or things that I've done in the past, but I will say it's unique, certainly within the state police, when you combine the Army experience and the state police experience. And it enabled me to intuitively understand the tactics, techniques, and procedures used by our disparate agencies and special operations personnel, so that instead of drinking through a fire hose with all the resources that came on board, I had that in the back of my mind so I could focus and concentrate on finding two escaped murderers and working the different channels that would be necessary, the governmental channels and the interagency channels that were so important in order to bring it to a conclusion.
In part two of our interview tomorrow, incident commander and author of Relentless Pursuit, Major Charles Guess, delves deeper into the search for Richard Matt and David Sweat. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.